I really want to encourage people to go outside and take a look at the sun on Monday. You can travel to an event, a science center, wherever you think would be fun, but especially if you're along the path of totality, just go outside and look up in the afternoon on Monday.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pekus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, the eclipse is here. Depending on where you are on April 8th, you might have a once-in-a-lifetime chance to experience a total solar eclipse. Its arrival in the Northeast is leading to solar tourism, bringing in visitors from around the country who want to see it for themselves Monday afternoon. It's also a chance for scientists to expand their understanding. And one person who will be watching closely is Dr. Valerie Rapson, a physics and astronomy professor at SUNY Oneonta. Valerie, thank you for being here.
Yes, thanks so much for having me.
It's finally here. I feel like we've been talking about the eclipse coming for a long time. What are your plans?
Yes, we are super excited. So I'm going to be hanging out down in Oneonta, which is a little bit outside of totality, but we're going to have a big event at our science center, as I'm sure pretty much every science center across New York State is going to do. And we're just going to help all of the local people safely watch the eclipse.
I have a bunch of basic questions for you, so bear with me.
Sure.
When we say, you know, a total solar eclipse, what do we mean by that?
Yeah, we mean that the moon is going to appear to move in front of the sun from our perspective and essentially block out the sun's light. So if you are in totality, then the moon is going to completely cover up the sun from your perspective. And if you're outside of totality, you'll get a partial eclipse where the moon only blocks part of the sun, not the whole thing.
And so the Earth is a relatively big place. So the rarity here is not necessarily the moon going in front of the sun. It's that in this part of the world, we're going to see the full thing?
Right, exactly. We generally get about 2 solar eclipses a year, but that's in various locations across the world. So it's much more rare to have a path cross the United States and also to have it cross so many populated cities and areas. That's why people are so excited about this one, is that it's not only crossing the United States, but it's crossing over a huge populated area of our country. So a lot of people are going to get to enjoy it very easily.
It kind of can hurt your head a little bit to try to picture why this happens. But obviously, the sun is so far away. The moon is very close, astronomically speaking. Why does an eclipse happen?
Yeah, so we are very lucky in that nature gave us these 2 objects that are at just the right size and distance so that we can have an eclipse. So you're right, the moon is a lot closer to us, and it's a lot smaller, but the sun is bigger and also farther away. The sun's about 400 times larger, but 400 times farther away than the moon is. So because of these numbers, it actually works out that both objects appear to be the same size in the sky. So the moon can actually cover up the sun if things line up just right so that that path crosses.
What happens at this moment that we've been hearing so much about totality?
Yeah, totality is when the moon completely covers up the sun, and that gives us a really unique view of the solar corona, essentially this very thin but also very, very hot atmosphere that surrounds the sun. And normally it's too faint for our telescopes on the ground or our eyes to see, but during a total solar eclipse, we actually get to see this outer layer, which generally isn't visible. So that's the main exciting thing we're all looking forward to when totality hits.
And so what's the difference between a lunar eclipse and a solar eclipse from the viewer's perspective?
Yeah, so a solar eclipse has the order of sun, moon, earth, and it's the moon that's moving between the earth and the sun and blocking out the sun's light. A lunar eclipse is when the earth is in the middle. So the order becomes sun, earth, and moon, and it's actually the moon that moves behind the earth and passes in the earth's shadow. And that darkened shadow causes most of the light that hits the moon to disappear, and we usually get it to look not completely dark, but a little bit of that blood red color. And that has to do with the little bit of light that actually makes it to the moon is light that has already passed through Earth's atmosphere. So the atmosphere has scattered the blue light, and only a little bit of red light gets through. So for a solar eclipse, the moon is blocking out the sun. For a lunar eclipse, essentially the Earth is stopping light from hitting the moon.
So if, you sleep through Monday's eclipse, when is the next time that the Northeast will be in the line of totality the way it is this time?
Yeah, so you definitely don't want to sleep through Monday's eclipse. Go outside, definitely check it out. But we have quite a while to wait for the next one. 2045 is when the path of totality is going to cross the country again, but it's not going to pass over New York State. If you want to be in New York State for another total eclipse, you have to wait until 2079 for that to happen, and it's just going to be Long Island and a little bit of the southern tier of New York that gets it at that time.
So what are you hoping to observe or see, scientifically speaking, during this happening?
Yeah, so the astronomers in general are really excited to observe the corona, to take a look at any solar flares or coronal events that are happening during the eclipse. And we're also excited to kind of look at how nature and weather reacts. There's going to be a lot of studies about how the occurrence of the eclipse affects nature, how it might cause some weather and temperature changes nearby. So all of those types of things are being studied. And we're studying them both from the perspective of totality as well as outside of totality. Granted, being outside of totality, the view is not as exciting, but we still will see some of these scientific effects, especially with nature and the world around us. So we're hoping just to learn a little bit more about how everybody, humans, plants, animals, are going to experience and be affected by this eclipse, along with all of the cool, photographs and real solar science that we can do as well.
Can you explain why we need to wear special glasses?
Oh, definitely. Yes, we all want to make sure that we're going to be very safe during this eclipse. So as you all probably know, the sun is ridiculously bright. On a normal day, if we glance quickly up at the sun, our brains tell us to instantly look away because it's just so bright. We are much more tempted to look at the sun during an eclipse because we know something cool is happening and we want to see it. So we have to make sure that we have safety glasses on, which block far more than 99.9999% of the sun's light and actually make it safe to see just a small amount of light and watch the moon cross in front of the sun. So we have to have those glasses on at any point that the sun isn't completely covered up by the moon.
Do you know how long humans have been able to predict the arrival of an eclipse?
That's a great question. So there have actually been records that go at least hundreds of years back, if not longer. We've been tracking solar eclipses for a long time with this idea of Saros cycles and just paying attention to the motion of the stars and the motion of the sun in the sky. We've actually been able to kind of predict forward relatively closely for quite a while. I don't know exactly how long ago the first solar eclipse was predicted, but this is not something new. We've actually been observing the sky and trying to predict these phenomena for a very long time.
Dr. Valerie Rapson teaches physics and astronomy at SUNY Oneonta. Thanks for being such a great friend to WAMC, and enjoy.
Yes, thank you. You too. Have a great time observing the sun.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.